Hey y'all, it's Justine Mentor from Mentor Management. I'm an LA-based dance choreographer and educator turned career coach, and I'm all about inspiring, motivating, and educating professional dancers. I'm so excited to bring you Dance Careers Unfiltered, where we chat about the nitty-gritty behind the business side of the entertainment industry. The stuff that people don't know they need to know. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Dance Careers Unfiltered. Today's guest is none other than the incredible Michelle Elkin. Michelle is an industry vet, and I'm proud to say a friend and colleague whom I respect dearly. She is laying out so many truths and gems, as per usual, as we discuss how to stay grounded in the long game, the rise of social media and how she uses it to cast dancers, and the burgeoning musical theater scene in Los Angeles. Please welcome Michelle.
I'm so excited to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Why don't you tell everybody a little, I know I say this to everybody, I'm like, in a little sound bite, you know, it's so hard to, and for you, especially since you've been in the business so, so long, tell everyone your background, tell everyone your story.
Yeah, for sure. I really came to this loving performing as a little girl. I was two dancing, and I was in a local dance studio loving to perform. And at 5 years old, I said I wanted to be a choreographer. I have it in writing. I still have it. It's amazing that my mom kept that. And I had an audition for the movie Annie at 8 years old. Went to my first audition for fun. It was not anything that was like show business. I'm going to be in show business. I didn't get the job at first. I was like the next in line, and somebody had to drop out and got a call a few months later from a casting director offering me to be an orphan in the movie Annie. And I worked 10 weeks on a set, and that was all she wrote. That was my walk into what my rest of my life was going to be like. And it was a big time for, you know, television variety for kids, a lot of jobs at the time for kids. And I just rolled into working, you know, pretty consecutively with some of the dancers that were already in show business, and did a lot of television, and kind of fell in love with the art form of being on a set. And it just kind of rolled from there. So yeah, it was amazing. And I came to assisting choreographers at a young age in class, and people let me go in the front of the room in adult classes and gave me like that confidence. And then I connected to Marguerite Derricks at 14, and she started bringing me on jobs at a young age to start assisting. So everything kind of started so young for me. And I am so thankful now. I just, you know, it's kind of what has informed me and my work now.
Wow, that's amazing. And at such a young age, like, how do you stay... Okay, let me put it a different way.
Grounded.
How do you stay grounded? Like, how do you not burn out and get, you know, you're tired of the process or this and that, or how things might be changing? Like, how do you stay grounded with all of that?
I will definitely give my parents credit for that. My mom and dad were not show busy parents, and they let me lead always. I never was pushed. It was me begging to go to dance class. Like, I just was like, I was obsessed. I was really obsessed with dance. I was in love with class taking. I just wanted to be in the classroom, and I wanted to dance. And they always told me that if they, you know, saw any behavior in a different way from, you know, just this being fun, they would pull me out. You know, I think they watched me. And for whatever reason, it was a very healthy, balanced time for me. And my mentors that I ended up, you know, getting connected to that were working choreographers, they were really grounding for me. Like, it just, you know, I think as a dancer especially, I mean, I know it's harder as a kid, but as a dancer especially, versus a kid actor who's on a big TV series and getting a whole bunch of, you know, press and everything's done for them in a lot of ways, I think dancers, you know, especially then, weren't as seen as stars, right? You know, there wasn't social media, there wasn't TikTok, there wasn't, you know, all the different, you know, Instagram, you know, like young dancers that could have a ton of followers, and now you were known by your name, you right. know. So I think it also helped being a dancer, that was part of a ensemble, so to speak, opposed to, you know, nobody was like, oh, Michelle Elkin, you know, it's
yeah,
a known entity. I was a dancer on television, but I wasn't like a specific known person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that you bring that up about the difference between the child actor and a child dancer. So what would you say then to young professionals or pre-professionals now, or kids, anyone listening to this that is struggling with being seen versus like working, and like kind of there's this new thing, right, with the social media and all this stuff. It's like, how do you balance that? I don't even know if there's a specific answer, but I know it's a struggle.
Yeah. I mean, I say it all the time when I go teach. It is, you can't really get away without, you know, wondering how many followers you have or your friend has, or, you know, that attention, you know. So I feel for them in that way. I mean, if you happen to be the one that's the known entity, it's probably super Heidi and fun and feels good. But, you know, I think, again, I'm always going to go back to, it starts with the parents. I think the more that the value of their themselves is on who they are as a young artist, opposed to how much people tell them how much they love them through a social media outlet, I think is always going to be helpful and guiding them to just keep training and being good humans, and, you know, finding that balance of who they are outside of what people see on a screen. Yeah. But it's a challenge. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm so happy I didn't have to come up in that.
I know. YouTube started like maybe a year before I got here. And it wasn't like big yet, but I was totally one of those that was posting from the back of the room into the right, you know, like standing on the chair in the back. I had the flip cam and all the things. I was totally posting on YouTube in the beginning, and then it just kind of, I fizzled out with that because I just couldn't keep up. It's like, it's so much constant. And now with Instagram and TikTok, I mean, I'm not on TikTok. I did make an account, but I've not been on it.
Yeah, I use it for research. You know, there
there are
times, especially as a choreographer, where there'll be something that says, like that TikTok idea of whatever's, you know, trendy. Yes. So I just want to be informed if something comes up work-wise. But I always say that the time in the classroom or the prep room or on the job, you know, is where my focus wants to be. And it, you know, it can take up a lot of hours of your life and time. And, you know, I think exhausts a lot of time. So I think it's important to keep redirecting to the connection of being in the space and with humans and being able to communicate and use your voice and all of that stuff. So we don't get so, I mean, I think it's useful. I think there's a lot of things useful for it, but you also don't want to get trapped into it being only that. And when I was coming up, I was taught, you don't talk about the jobs you're doing. So it was a real transition for me, because the whole point was you just did the job. It wasn't about, you know, gloating and you know, telling everybody. And now it's like something that if you don't say what you're doing, you're almost not relevant in a lot of ways. So I've really had to find that healthy balance of, you know, when I do post and share, because somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. You know, I know the jobs I wanted, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to see them all blasted on a screen. I'm like, oh, that's the one I really wanted, though. And now I'm not like, I'm watching it happen in front of me instead of just moving on, you know?
Yeah, it's like literally those girls in middle school coming up to you and being like, nah, 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 boo, boo, I've got blah, 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 you know? And
you're so like, true.
Wait, I wanted that job. It's so tough. It's so tough.
Yeah.
You know, I got to like take very specific, like engaged breaks so that I'm not like sucked into that, because it's really tough, especially when you're like trying to be a digital entity of some sort. It's like, where does that line between like reality and virtual world blur, and where does it end? And It's really, it's quite the navigation right now.
Yeah, but you know, people, like I'm guilty of it. I just choreographed a job and somebody recommended somebody and I looked them up. I got their Instagram handle and I looked them up because I had seen them in an actual classroom scenario. But then I looked them up to see, you know, just what was going on and, you know, how they move, how they kind of interact, because I didn't know them as a person. And so it is a really quick tool to see people if you don't, you know, if you don't know them. So it's usable, just as long as it's used in a really healthy and positive way.
Right. As a casting tool.
Yeah.
As a business card or, you know,
totally
business card or whatnot. I remember in one of the chats that I do, like the industry chats I do with my community, I had Jim Keith and he said like people are updating their Instagrams like daily, multiple times daily. And that's way more than they update their casting networks, you know, or on any of their casting profiles here. So, you know, if you want to get a glimpse into how someone moves, I mean, really think about anything you reference, someone tells you about anyone and you're going to go on Instagram and you're going to look at their profile, like for anything.
And it's the most current, you know, even with picture submissions, like I don't want to say anything to my friends, my beautiful friends that shoot wonderful headshots and, you know, all these wonderful, you know, pictures to be submitted. But it's also become, you know, send a selfie. I just had to have a bunch of dancers send a selfie for a submission because one, I don't know if they actually look the way they look in their picture, and it was really specific casting. And you know, it's the most recent thing that somebody can count on when whoever's going to walk into that room. So it's now the selfie has become the new headshot, you know, a lot of ways. And I'm not saying like please get headshots. You want good headshots. It's important, but you have to also be prepared to dress the part and maybe just take a quick shot of yourself to send in so you can be, you know, the right person they're trying to cast.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to walk into the room and then be like, ooh, she doesn't look anything like that, or, you know, they don't look anything. So yeah, you'd rather look better than your photos. That's why I get nervous sometimes. I mean, I haven't taken like a really glam photo shoot in a while, because that's just not what I'm doing now. You know, I'm not 20 anymore.
Yeah.
So, but I see a lot of these, you know, and they have so much makeup on and people look almost, you know, a little different than what they look like in person.
Yep.
And as a choreographer and someone who's like hiring people, like you're saying, it just doesn't serve me, because I'm like, okay, great, this is what they look like 2D, but I need to know like the 3D version of this person so I can make them, mold them into what I need for the character, you know?
Even for kids, you know, I think it just goes across the board, you know. Yeah, be yourself and sell who you are. And if you, I always say you can't fit a circle into a square. So if you're not the right person for the job, it doesn't matter. It's not your job anyway. As hard as that is on the human heart of like, I want to work, you know, it's, everybody has their kind of place, when it's the right time.
I think you said this in a class I was in, an audition class I did of yours. It was like, you don't want to be invited to the party that you're not welcome at, or like, so you don't crash the party. And I loved that. And I remembered it. Why don't you share that? Will you share it?
Yeah. It's pretty much the same thing you just said. You know, you don't want to be invited to a party that you're not welcome at, you know. It sounds so harsh. I probably do, but it's, you know, the worst thing to be is somewhere that you aren't wanted. And, not every job is for everybody. And, you know, as upset as I've been on any one given project that I haven't been a part of that I really wanted to, when I was able to look back at it, I realized that wasn't the right place for me to be. And it takes a minute to see that sometimes, but, you know, it does circle around and come back in a different way if you can stay on the journey and not, you know, get too swayed or discouraged by the one thing that, you know, you didn't get to do. So,
right. It's like reframing the rejection a little bit.
Yeah.
Know? So you're getting redirected as opposed to rejected. You know, mm-hmm. it's on to the next one as opposed to dwelling and staying on it. Because there's always going to be more. There's always going to be more opportunity.
Yeah, we both have said this before when we've taught as well, like, you know, you're going to hear the word no. I mean, the word no is it happens more than yes sometimes. And then, it, you know, somewhere along the line, it just kicks over and takes the right project and the right connection to somebody that, you know, takes you on a different journey of where the next step is. So,
yeah. This ride, right?
It's a ride. I wouldn't the ride for the anything else though.
Right? I know. And it, there's so much like uncertainty and all of that weaved in. It's so interesting, but it's like when you're here long enough, you know, like that it does keep going. The ride continues. You just have to like weather those storms and they continue. Yeah. It's really fun too to see like all the wins of the people that you've been here with that long, you know, the people that stay and stick it out and keep going and doing their thing. Like, it's so fun to see what people are accomplishing. And if you look at it that way, to see like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like what my friends can accomplish and what an artist can do and the opportunities we can create. Like, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think sometimes wherever we are in our process, we forget the power we have to the people that are coming up and watching. Because if I really remember who I was looking at, the working dancers, and I was always a kid with it around the adults, but I was looking at these like amazing adults that were doing these cool things. And I was in awe of them. And I wanted to have that same opportunity. And, you know, I think we forget that as we continue on and we are doing the jobs that these younger artists are looking at, they probably have that same feeling about us, you know?
Yeah.
I want to do what they're doing. And you know, it will come, you know, everybody's road is different. And you may have one set idea and then it just kind of circles and moves into something else. But I think if you stay long enough and keep trying to navigate that and have that trust that it will be there, I think it has some form somewhere.
Yes, definitely. Well, I'm gonna shift gears completely because I wanna know really what happened. I mean, I know you grew up mostly on sets. So tell me about was there a specific shift into the theater world? Or was that just like where your heart lay, or was it just like an organic process? Like, tell me about your work in musical theater and how that transpired.
For sure. You know, I think a lot of the work I did as a kid, even though it was television based, there was a lot of singing and musical aspects to it. I mean, Annie just alone, I recorded Hard Knock Life on an album. You know, there was musical theater amongst that. And I always loved to be on stage. I just loved the feeling of being on stage in live theater. And I did do a musical. It just come to LA from Sweden. It was the world premiere of Fame, the musical, at the Alex Theater. That was like my first job that I got my equity card. And I like the process of it and the community of it. When I was done, I had weeks of like dealing with the emotional leaving that job. Like, there's something just special about connecting on stage with people and the rehearsal process. And it was still a brand new show, even though it had been done in Sweden. There was still some development happening, so I really found that. And every time I'd go on a job that had a theater, like a TV gig that had a theater vibe to it, I just always connected to that, and I understood the comedy and the, you know, I was assisting on jobs and I was starting to learn that kind of idea of storytelling. And then I started working, like Marguerite was getting ready to do, we did Sister Act, the musical at the Pasadena Playhouse. That was, you know, at the time, pre-Broadway, brand new show. I was her associate on that and just kept finding that road, you know, amongst TV. But I was loving the creative process of that. I got to do Wonderland, the Broadway musical Wonderland, with her in New York as an associate. It was a 2-year process. And I just wanted to navigate that for myself as a choreographer. And I have been able to do that. And I get to work on both sides of television and theater. But I really love the process. I love the community. I really love the creation of a brand new show. A lot of times in regional theater, we're doing a show that's already been, you know, done. So I get to do my own version of that, which is fun. But I love from the ground up just creating a new project. So it just became something that I fell in love with and I feel comfortable in. And I understand the aspects of lighting and, you know, not that I have to do that, but there's always somebody, but I understand the big picture of it. And so I thrive in my heart. And then when I leave, I feel so connected to those people. That's the other thing. It's a beautiful, you know, television, sometimes you can get into that family feeling, especially, you know, if you work on a show long enough, that's like a television series. I got to do that as an assistant a few times. So you do have a connection with people, but it's so quick. Like everything's so fast and people are coming in and out all the time. Whereas theater, you are spending a chunk of time together and it's a little bit more of an intimate situation. And you create these friendships, these relationships that you have to go through in order to get the end result on stage. And it's pretty powerful. And I loved feeling that connection. And then it's also become something, there's not a lot of people that are in Los Angeles teaching and in the musical theater feeling, and or even out of town. Like a lot of people, you know, want to do contemporary or hip hop or, you know, and I found that there was a little bit of room for me to bring theater to education as well. Lots of wonderful people doing it as well. I'm not the only one, but I found there was a space there to be able to really share that. And I'm so thankful, going back to training, I was trained in so many styles. I don't do all of them proficiently myself, but I was trained in them all, that when I am given a show, I have the ability to switch styles and do a lot of things in one show. So that's exciting too. So I'm able to use my tap and, you know, comedy storytelling, and then, you know, a jazz piece or a Fosse piece, or, you know, a little bit of street. Or there's just a lot of things to be able to utilize with that training, opposed to, you know, maybe a step touch, you know, on in a scene.
Right. Or if you need to go onto TikTok and pull from those styles, right?
Yeah, I don't think it, what's really good about TikTok, I probably, is my guess for theater, is that people post about the stuff, like the stuff they've seen. They probably do the moves from a show, so it just helps, you know, advertise shows. But
yeah.
I think it's used for advertising to sell tickets more than it has been used for, I think New York and theater hasn't quite become the necessity and need that more commercial dance Los Angeles has, yeah, for social media.
For sure. No, I'm just being...
No, I get it. No, but it made me think, like, is there any use for it? But I think I have seen on TikTok sometimes where people will take a thing from a show that's like popular, like Six or, you know, Hamilton or something, and then they'll like do the moves from it. So right. I think people are utilizing it more for fun than it is for to get work.
Yeah, I have heard that before. I've had a guest on the show before that has actually been like, they asked me to do a TikTok dance for something as a choreographer, and it was like, eye roll, you know, like, but I guess it is the thing. So,
yep,
that's where we're at. That's great. I totally get you about the community that comes with the creation process for stage. Like, there really isn't anything like it.
No.
Yeah.
No, and also it's really, you know, just comparing, excuse me, comparing the set versus the stage situation. You know, you're brought on a TV set and there's a script that you have to fulfill, and you have a director telling you, you know, what their concept and idea of the scene is and all of that. And then there's always a DP, or there's always people creating that with you. But you're bringing a lot of elements to it. But in theater, you are part of all the creative process, right? There's just a little bit more in-depth process to being a choreographer with your musical director and your director and your producers and casting. You're more immersed in all of the aspects of the entire show, opposed to one scene in a, you know, one or two scenes in something.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a more collaborative feel in that sense for the theater world. I guess it depends on what show you're on, I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, I just did Young Sheldon, and I helped cast, and there was a concept of it, but I still, like, my creation was, you know, pitched to the director and the writers and producers, and it fit the storytelling and what it was scripted, but, you know, it just says, I can't say what it is right now, but it just says you know, what it is, and then you have to fulfill what it is. It's not like in depth of, now they're gonna do this kind of dancing and this amount, you know, so, you know, you are part of the process, but it's a smaller entity than from beginning to end of a musical. So I do love that aspect as well.
Yeah, or it's like for one scene only and one part of this thing, or 2 minutes of a 30-minute episode or 60-minute, you know, whatever it might be, or a smaller part. Yeah, yeah, I was asked, I'm doing something this month. I already rehearsed it, and I'm shooting it. I'm like, what day is it? Next week or the week out, whatever, later this month. And it was also completely, and it's for film, and it's a scene, and it's like 4/8 counts, you know, something like that. But it's 100% written into the script of exactly the tone it needs to be, exactly what has to happen. So you're really just fulfilling like a specific thing in that sense. And I'm not sure people realize how much you're like, it's like you're doing an assignment or a challenge based on something that you've received, as opposed to being able to go and really have a big say or really, you know, explore the opportunities with the rest of the creative team, you know. Yeah. So it is.
Yeah, definitely.
So while I have you, can you explain, now that we're on like the theater topic, can you explain equity and how people and how they can get that, or when they should get it, all that good stuff?
Happy to. Equity used to be harder to get into. You either had to be a SAG member, like a parent union, which is one of the main unions. So I'll use SAG-AFTRA. If you were a union member for a year, then you were able to then join Equity, or you had to get points. You had to do particular productions that gave you EMC points, and you had to get a certain amount of points. And once you did, then you were eligible, and then you could join whenever that time was. Now it's, I think, during the pandemic, things shifted, and I think anybody can join now, from my understanding. You have to join if you get a Broadway show. You have to join if you get a national tour that's an equity contract within a certain amount of time anyway. I always say, you know, I'm pro-union. I'm not going to lie. I love the unions. We're protected. I've been a SAG member since Annie, and I am, I'm vested. I've been in it long enough that when I'm older, that will be my, you know, pension and health. So unions are so great. They protect us. It's important for all aspects. Injuries, if somebody's on a tour, a union will protect you. You need that safety for that aspect. If you're going to stay in Los Angeles and do Los Angeles theater as a dancer, singer, ensemble, it actually can hurt you to join the union too early, because there's not enough work out there for an equity ensemble member. For the most part, you have to kind of fit the roles, and you have to be a strong enough singer, actor, dancer to be able to fulfill a principal part. So if you're not in that level yet, or you don't have an interest in that level, and you just love just to perform and be on stage and sing as a ensemble dancer in a show, equity might not be the best choice for the beginning stages of getting your credits built, because you'll just be limited. If you go to New York, it's harder to get into the auditions, although right now it's a little easier because there's still a lot of submissions virtually. So a lot of people have been able to sneak those you know, submissions in, opposed to standing at the end of the line of an equity line and then not getting in to be seen because they don't have any more time to see non-union. So if you're going to New York and that's where you're starting to see movement, and there's a opportunity there for you, then it might serve to join a union, so you have more chances of being seen, because there's a lot more equity work in New York. So it just depends on what coast, what your goals are, what you're trying to, you know, kind of build that foundation for yourself, and then make the best choice based on that. I wouldn't jump in just to jump in. I'd really make sure that you look at all the aspects of the bigger picture, because there's plenty of time. I got my equity card first show. They gave it to me. They needed one more person to give it, and I got it. I've had my equity card for many years, and you know, I kind of moved in different ways, so I didn't necessarily need it, but I think it would have maybe halted some of my opportunity out here as a dancer who's saying not having as many chances.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess it all depends on the person.
Yeah, everybody's road is different. It's you can't follow anybody. You know, you can follow by example somebody's work ethic. I always looked at my mentors, and they always had lots of things going on, so that there's never one thing that they could count on. It was just a bunch of things that you know you could always keep your hands in a lot of different baskets to keep working. Yeah. But everybody has a different road to go, and if you try to follow the exact road of somebody else and don't stay true to yourself, then you know it may not be as authentic, and the opportunities may not show themselves the way that you might expect, because the road isn't open. So the more you can just stay open to everything, and when the time's right, I think if you listen, you know, like you know when it's time to join a union, you know when it's time to, I think you know if you don't panic and rush too fast.
Yeah. So what is your one piece of business career advice that you would give to up-and-coming professionals, early career professionals, that has propelled your career more so than, you know, having great lines and learning choreography quickly, things like that?
Yeah. Okay, there's going to be a lot of integrity, having a work ethic, staying in class, making true relationships with people that you connect to, that you want to work with. And I always tell every dancer, there are no rules. I mean, there are rules in terms of just human behavior, like how you interact and are in a room. But in terms of going and getting your opportunities, there are no rules. If you want to work with somebody, go up and say, "Hi, I'm Michelle Elkin, and I really love your work. How can I work with you?" In a cool way, not in any pushy way, but you know, most of the time people go, "Oh my gosh, there's a feeling of like you want to learn my work, you know?" And and if you make a way for yourself, trust it, but work ethic and integrity are everything. You can get by so much on just being great to have in a room for many hours.
Absolutely. Well, you're a testament to that, because you continue to work and you've been working for so long, and I'm sure there's many people out there following your journey and being inspired by your example, Michelle.
Well, I would say the same for you.
Oh, you're very sweet. I feel like we could, I know whenever we get together, we're always like, la la, we're always, we have like, we share a similar mindset for sure, and a lot of the same philosophies. So I appreciate you coming on and just chatting and doing it in a public way so that everyone can hear our chats.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Tell everyone where they can find you online.
Oh, yes. You can find me on Michelle Elkin. It's just my name on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. And that's pretty much it. And then you can come dance with me at the Performing Arts Center. I teach musical theater and jazz. So come find me. They have an Instagram as well, Performing Arts Center. And let's dance and keep moving forward as artists.
Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out mentor.management on Insta and justinementor.com/mentormanagement. That's MNTRMGMT. Check out the show notes to find links to my offerings and today's guest. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. See you next time.